Hello, Loveland. I'm Mike Meldon, and this is your Loveland Weekly Podcast, brought to you by Gina Dubell Smith, EXP Realty, and Stone Pillar Farm. In today's episode, you will hear my conversation with Diana Nelson, the mayor of Mason, Ohio. We discuss her political career, her advocacy for taxpayer rights, the successful fight to keep the tennis tournament here locally, and why Mason has a special place in her heart. I hope you enjoy our conversation. Today is Monday, February 26th, 2024.
Okay, well, my background is in business and accounting, and I never really dreamt that I would get involved in politics. But I'm constantly reinventing myself. I get involved in different things so that I can just keep learning. But a bit about my background, I went to the University of Texas at Dallas and graduated with a bachelor's degree in accounting. I received my master's of taxation at the University of Cincinnati, and I completed a comparative tax policy and administrative program at Harvard University. Wow. So that's kind of the extent of my education. But, you know, what got me into politics, I think my passion to serve my community really stems back to 20 years ago when my husband passed away. Wow. I was raising three daughters. They were ages at the time. They were 1, 4, and 6. And I was new to the community. We had just moved here, I think, 2 years prior to moved from Texas. And so I didn't really know anyone. My family lived out of the state. I was kind of here in Mason raising the girls all by myself. So now
what
I'm
year was that?
That he passed away in 2004. Wow. So, I was here by myself raising my daughters. But, you know, I think it was the community of Mason. They were so supportive, so compassionate. They really just kind of wrapped their arms around us and took care of us. And I am forever grateful to my community for helping me get through such a difficult time. And, you know, since I was young, my father always had instilled in me the need to give back to the community in which we live. And I think through his examples, you know, he taught me the importance of supporting local businesses, practicing my faith, investing my time and my talent to better the city where my family lives. And so that's really what I've done for the past 8 years. Mason is my home. I love Mason. I plan on, retiring here and living here till the end. And I hope that my daughters come back to Mason and raise their children here as well. I mean, it's just such a great community. So that's really what got me involved in politics, which was never my intention to begin with. It just kind of happened.
Those are the best politicians, I find. The ones that didn't grow up wanting to be there, but felt like the call later. I think, at least in my experience, I find those to be the most genuine ones. The ones that are there for the right reasons.
Right. I agree. And, you know, the thing is, I can't stand politicians.
Right.
So, I hate politics. I don't like politicians. So, it's kind of bizarre that I'm in this seat. But I have been enjoying it. And I really try to always focus on my community and to give back to my community.
So, and obviously you got a lot going on, but what outside of work and being the mayor of Mason, what else do you like to do?
Sure. Well, you know, I'm a certified public accountant. And so, like I said, I own my own part-time accounting practice, but my full-time job is with Selection Management Systems Incorporated. I am the chief financial officer for one of the nation's largest background check providers. We perform thousands of pre-employment screenings every day. And so before you get a job, they usually do a background check on you. And that's what my company does. So I've been at this job for 14 years now. I love it. The man that I work for is brilliant. He owns 5 different companies. The other large company is a skydiving company. Owns Start Skydiving as well. He always has a million different ideas. And so we're involved in a lot of different things. And I basically manage and run those companies for him from a financial standpoint. Oh, wow. So it's been fun. Like I said, you know, we have to deal with the We're a consumer reporting agency for selection, and we have to follow all of those laws. And then, of course, we have aircraft with skydiving. We have to follow the FAA laws. And now he's talking about opening up a restaurant. So we're going to have to learn about it, you know. But, you know, it's fun. He keeps it fun. It's never dull, which is good.
Right.
But I think, you know, my true passion is advocating for taxpayer rights. I know that's not exactly, you know, how you'd like to spend a Saturday night, but, you know, accounting is my life. And
right.
I like the ability to be able to serve the taxpayers. And that's truly one of my passions.
And how do you go about that? Are you on different boards or committees, or how does that work? How do you fight for that?
Yeah, so I recently just completed an appointment by the Treasury of the United States. I served on a federal advisory board to represent the state of Ohio. And in that role, I identified taxpayer issues on like a systemic level and collaborated with the IRS to implement positive changes. And this advisory board was created by Congress to improve the IRS. So because of this, the IRS was very responsive to our changes. And so it was a great board to be on. Our voice really was heard, which is a good thing, because a lot of times when you're trying to fight for something, you don't feel like you have a voice. But, you know, since
you're just yelling in the wind, right?
Yeah. But since this committee was created by Congress, we really did have a voice. And so that was really fun. I did that for 3 years.
Oh, very cool. What about Mason? What are your biggest accomplishments? You've been on, so how long have you been on council? Is this your second term or third term?
So I was appointed for the first 2 years. I took over. I took over another council member's seat who had resigned.
Okay.
And then I ran for election and was elected into the position. And then I served 4 years during that term. And then I was reelected again to serve 4 more years. And I have 2 years left. And then I will be termed out for 2 years.
They have term limits in Mason.
We do. Yes. Which is good.
Oh, that's interesting. That is good.
It is good. And I think that we need stronger term limits. I'm a firm believer of term limits. I'm a firm believer of getting new people into these positions, different ideas, fresh starts. And so I am an advocate for term limits as well. I don't plan.
Me too. They've been pushing that here in Loveland. Yeah. They've been pushing it here, but it never really got the traction, but it'll probably come up again.
Yeah, it should. You know, not only at the local level, but at the state level as well. Term limits are important. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you're in a position too long, you gain too much power. And that's not good, because, you know, then you have too much control and power. And I just think that could be a dangerous combination.
Yeah, and you lose perspective a little bit too. You know, I think you're just so built into your perspective in that chair and with those people that you've been working with and how things seem to run. Yeah, I know a lot of people on council here, and it's not like I'm looking at anybody in particular when I say that, but it does. I mean, you can see changes over time, and you can see power becoming taken for granted almost.
Right.
Yeah. So what, while you've been on council, I'm sure you've had a lot of great accomplishments, but what's something that stands out?
You know, I love being asked that question, because the success of what City Council has achieved over the last 8 years since I've been on council, it really fills me with the most pride, right? You want to do great things. If you're taking time out of your life, you want to make sure that you're being a productive council member. And so if I have to pick one, I'd have to say my advocacy efforts to stop the state of Ohio from implementing centralized tax collection. We were not successful. Had we not been successful, the state would have taken a cut of Mason's income tax dollars and kept it at the state level, which would just be wrong. And so I testified against centralized tax collection efforts in front of the House and the Senate. And ultimately, the Senate did pass legislation, but our efforts led to a Supreme Court ruling, which prohibited the state of Ohio from taking any of the city's revenue. So that was a big win for Mason.
Big success.
Yeah, wow. It was great. And it helped, you know, it helps keep our income tax rates one of the lowest in the state. So that was a huge success. But I think, you know, I would be remiss if I did not mention how proud I am of the work that we've done to secure the Western and Southern Open, the TPS, ATP tennis tournament.
Yes.
And that was great. You know, the tournament was founded in 1899, and wow. Mason has hosted the ATP for the past 45 years. Well, just a little bit of the back history. In 2022, the U.S. Tennis Association sold the tournament to BMOC Capital. And they are based in Charleston, South Carolina. BMOC looked at relocating the Western Southern Tournament to Charlotte. And it did not look good for Mason. But, you know, in a true testament to Mason's dedication to this legacy, this tournament, we fought really hard to keep them. This project still remains a top priority for the city. And with city council leadership and the city staff throughout the organization, we've really focused on moving this forward. Prior to the announcement of the new owner, the city had assembled a leadership and economic development team to put our most competitive foot forward. Like with any economic development project, the city competes to win, right? I mean, right. That's what our goal is. So at the time, there were many unknowns, including who we were competing against. And so, but this is not an unusual situation for Mason. This is what economic development does. But the Western Southern Tennis Project, the stakes were bigger, the geography was bigger, the return on investment impact was much wider. So this was a little bit different for us. But the city was ready from day one with a competitive position to proactively work, you know, to get this tennis tournament and to keep it. Our city staff really did a fantastic job securing the tournament. Our city manager, Eric Hansen, he just works miracles for our city. He really does. And, but you know, it wasn't just the city that saved the tournament. We were able to get Governor DeWine involved, Senator Steve Wilson, our state rep, Adam Matthews, County Commissioner David Young. We all collaboratively worked together as a team to make this successful, which I am so proud of the work that everybody did. They really did work hard.
Yeah, and it was one of those things, too, where from the outsider, you know, I know the people I talked, we just thought it was good as gone.
Yeah, you know, it really...
For sure. So, kudos.
Yeah.
Because we didn't expect it. We really didn't expect it to for you guys to be able to work that out. And that's really amazing.
Right. I mean, the news was announcing that Charlotte had taken it. And right. We just did not stop the fight. We just kept pushing forward. We were not going to lose this. So really, like when I said Eric worked miracles, he really did, because it did not look good at all. And look at where we are now. We're working collaboratively with BMOC. We want to create, or they want to create, I should say, a cohesive, like, year-round entertainment campus.
Oh, that's awesome.
It is awesome. And, you know, the opportunity to work together with them to improve the facilities and the operations, because we've got a golf course there as well. So if we can work together, you know, that's really exciting. It just demonstrates that working together, that we can create something unique and profound that is genuinely a community amenity that will make, you know, make our wellness, our culture of wellness much better, and the quality of life here in Mason better.
And it's no small achievement to get it named the Cincinnati Open again, or is it? It's named after Cincinnati now, right?
Correct. Yes. Yes. They did drop the Western Southern.
I think that's a big, big deal. I mean, that's I think just says so much more about the accomplishment, too. It hasn't been that for a very long time, but it's just getting the name out there is a big win.
Right. But don't you think the Mason Open would sound much better?
I would have been all for the Mason Open also. So yes, was that a fight?
Well, we tried. You know, you have to.
Well, heck yeah.
It's in Mason. Yeah. And so when you see all the commercials all the time, and they're like, in Cincinnati, Ohio, we're like, no, that's in Mason, Ohio.
It's up here in May. I don't blame you. If it were right here in Loveland, I'd have that too. So yeah, I can respect that 100%. But it is a win, nevertheless, still.
Yes,
so,
it is a win. Job. Very exciting. And you know, they're expanding it to 2 weeks now. Yeah, last year we broke a record with nearly 200,000 fans that traveled to Mason for this event. So with it being opened up to 2 weeks, I mean, that's really going to impact, have an economic impact.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. So, okay, so you've already, I mean, a lot of great stuff done. What are your goals now that you're mayor? You were just sworn in as mayor, what, in January, early January?
December. Right?
December, late December, as everybody got sworn in from the new council. Okay. And so what are some major initiatives or goals that you have?
Well, you know, there's always the standard ones, right? You have to keep the budget balanced. You have to fully fund our first responders, increase our economic footprint, improve our infrastructure, keep our tax rates down. You know, those are the standards. They're very important. They definitely need to be focused on. But you know, another area that I have been working hard at is investing in our small businesses and the revitalization of our downtown. Once I became mayor, I created a small business committee to help support the local entrepreneurs and to find ways to bring more of them into Mason. You know, the small businesses are the heartbeat of our community. They create jobs, foster innovation. They really just contribute to Mason's vibrant tapestry. So small businesses will be a top priority of mine for the remainder of my time as mayor, but also revitalizing our city center has been a focus of our downtown committee for the past few years. Over the years, we've seen very little movement to improve our downtown, right? Like politicians just always seem to get in the way. So we thought, you know, if there's ever going to be an improvement to our downtown, we need to take politics out of it. And so we went to the Community Development Corporation and said, hey, will you help us with this project? And so they hired a planner, and they've been working independently with the planner to develop some concept plans for our downtown. And I think that report is due, gosh, within the next month. So we're really excited to see what they've come up with. But taking it out of the government's hands, really, politicians' hands, I'm positive we're going to see some action from that. They've done a great job meeting with residents and getting some feedback on what everybody wants and what their visions are. So it's really a community effort to do this. Another focus of mine has been arts and culture within the city. I'm a lifelong patron of the arts. It's always been a top priority of mine to, you know, assist in having a more robust visual and performance culture in Mason. I've always said, you know, Mason has everything, but I always felt like we were missing in the arts and culture area. And so, you know, just knowing art gives meaning to our lives. It helps us understand the world. It's an essential part of our culture, and it allows us to. Yeah. And I mean, Mason has such a wide range of cultures in it. You know, also with all the mental health issues that are in the world today, I truly believe that art will help this. Our community, actually, we're really blessed when I came across Dr. Lucy Ginther. She's brilliant. She created the Mason Symphony Orchestra, and she really...
Oh, wow.
Yes. So she has really continued to be like a shining star and a driving force behind the Mason Symphony Orchestra, and she's brought, you know, captivating performances to our residents. We just had one the other day. It was Butterfly Lovers meets Margaritaville, and they're just such unique performances. You know, it starts off as this beautiful... love kind of music, the symphony, a traditional symphony, and then it goes into Bohemian Rhapsody and then Margaritaville. So you go there and you just, she's so creative with what she does that.
Where is that? Where does she have these shows?
So they're in different locations. They've been, lately, they've been at the Great Wolf Lodge. But I know there's one in May that she's going to have at the high school. But I think in general, most of them are held at the Great Wolf Lodge. And you can actually, if I can give her a little bit of a plug, you can go to Mason Symphony, masonsymphonyorchestra.org. And that will give you the performances and tickets as well. The tickets are very affordable. And
awesome. We're going to see if I can get her on here. So I'll see if so she can plug herself too.
That'd be great. Yeah, that would be great because she really is doing an amazing job. I actually, it's funny because I met her at a neighborhood cookout. And we didn't know each other. She didn't know who I was. I didn't know who she was. And we started to talk and I was talking about arts within our community. And she said, well, that's funny. Well, you know, let's talk about this. And next thing you know, she's creating the Mason Symphony Orchestra and it's just coming to fruition. And so it's just been an amazing story and how fast the community has really grasped it. And It's been wonderful. So I'm really excited to see what the future holds with the Mason Symphony Orchestra.
Hey, Loveland, it's Emily Barblow, your local publisher of Loveland Lifestyle Magazine. Just wanted to remind you guys that we love covering all of the people, happenings, and things going on in our amazing town of Loveland, Ohio. So make sure to grab your latest copy. We always drop a bunch off in downtown Loveland and surrounding areas. Or follow us on Facebook and Instagram. Everything from events to mini press releases, articles. I mean, we have so much happening here. We love covering all of the things happening. So make sure if you're not already following us on social media, you are. And stay tuned for more awesome info from Loveland Lifestyle.
Looking ahead in Loveland. Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat is coming to the Loveland Stage Company from March 1st to March 17th. And if you have any events that you would like me to mention or show ideas for the podcast, please reach out at mike@lovelandpod.com. We have something truly special here in Loveland. Thank you for listening and have a great week. With the support of On Brand Studios, this episode was recorded and produced and engineered by Mike Melvin.